sails with the sun that saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch like me.
I'll be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 44. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Thank you, young men. Welcome to Florence Boulevard. If you're with us here in person or if you're with us online, we're glad that you're with us. Do have a couple of announcements before we begin. Please remember and continue to pray for those who are sick, grieving, and shut in. If anyone's interested in playing golf on Saturday, August the 28th at Blackberry Trail, please see Greg Elrod or Austin Johnson. Starting the last Sunday of this month, and it'll be the last Sunday evening of every month from 4 to about 4:30 or 4:40, we're going to be having a group class for the young ladies. Raising Daughters After God's Own Heart is the name of it. It'll be in the 49ers classroom in the back, and this will give the young ladies a chance to lead a song or read a scripture. If you are interested in having your young lady participate in this, please see Ginger or Janet. And finally, we have the benefit motorcycle ride for the North Alabama Christian Children's Home. This will be Saturday, August the 28th from 11 to 1:30. We'll have food, barbecue, hamburgers, hot dogs, white beans, and ham. Silent auction will be 11:45 to 12:15. T-shirts will be for sale, and we have a large list of items that will be in the silent auction. If you'd like to go by and pick up a copy of that list, it's on the table in this foyer back here. That's all the announcements I have. Austin's got one more announcement.
Yes, I do. Sorry, I didn't get this in the announcements earlier, but my mom just sent this to me, and I'll say that one in just a minute. We're a church that has a lot going on, and that's exciting. And a lot of churches maybe don't have that for the membership, but we do. Just got out of a meeting for an idea called Sunday Night for the Savior. It's really similar to what we used to do called, there you go, you know, Monday Night for the Master. This is going to be a bit different. It's exciting. We're putting a new spin to it, a more focused service and a more focused connection of groups of people intergenerationally put in the service of ministry. And that's going to be coming up. More details to come on that. We're very excited. Bob and Deb, of course, that being their brainchild of ministry and service as they carry it on. So we're excited for that. I want you to be aware of it. I have a favor to ask of you. My grandfather had a stroke a week ago, and he is still in the hospital. My mom said she had a huge favor to ask. Austin, would you please ask the congregation there, inform them about your grandpa, and ask them to send cards. So he had a stroke, and he's an elder of the church in Richmond, Kentucky. He and my grandma planted the church in Des Moines, Iowa, while he was the superintendent of Des Moines City Schools. He has his PhD in French linguistics, and he has a picture-perfect memory. He had a stroke, and he didn't realize it, but he went to send a text message to a Bible study group he's in. He's about 86, 87, and he couldn't read the words he was texting. Then he couldn't figure out what he was saying, and things started to go from there. So Grandpa called the doctor. They said, you need to go to the emergency room immediately. So he said, I'll be there. Went to the bathroom, took a shower, changed clothes, got some food, got in the car, and drove to the emergency room. Well, that's who he is. He is a man who loves people, and he is very, very lonely. My mother said he's lost 12 pounds this past week because he's just alone, and family goes to see him. But it would be a huge thing for him and for me to send a card. I'll give Bob and Deb his name and address. So if you all could do that, that would be great. I can even post it on maybe some social media pages. No, that's an address. I won't do it. I'll get it to Bob and Deb. It'll be sent out to the church. Thank you for listening to me ramble on about that.
Number 895 will be our first song. 895. Would you stand, please, as we sing?
I'd like to stay here longer than my allotted day. I want the fleeting changes. I'd like to be your way. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home of mine, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll sail and sing God's glory there on high. There with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing. By faith I look away to yonder on some hurdle, the land of Elysee. I'll cling to him forever and look beyond the sky.
God, how great thou art, and how wonderful is your name. What a privilege it is to be able to come before you today, to be able to come before you in this worship. And it is our prayer that our worship is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Please forgive us of the things that we have on our hearts that hinder us. Please help us to have pure hearts because of your Son, the sacrifice that he gave. Help us always to look to you, God, for meaning, that all meaning comes from you, that this world does not give us that, that because of your Son, it is now because being in Christ, help us to realize that we are a most blessed people to be in your presence. We see your handiwork all around us, this what we call earth. We see the sunset. We see the ocean. We see that this is the created. Our desire is to see the Creator, both in triumph and in tragedy. God, you make things to work for good. Oftentimes when we face triumph, we forget about you, and we think more about ourselves, and we think that we're self-sufficient. That's what having things go our ways tends to do. You know far better. Help lead us away from that thought. Mean those things that we have, those opportunities, the blessings that we got, we have because of you. Help us to see the opportunity to share. It's in tragedy that we also draw ourselves away from you, sometimes blaming, wondering why a God could allow such things to happen. Help us in our unbelief, God, that we see that you allow, that you have made us free moral angels because of the choice that we make, that things happen. Help us to see that again, that this world is not the place that where it is meant for us, that this world we're just passing through. Help us to see that eternity. Help us drive to that. Help us to share it with our family, our friends, and the community around, that they may too have the blessing of being in Christ, being able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before our message tonight, we'll sing number 473. I ask that you stand as we sing this song together. Remain standing for a reading.
get my eyes on here. This evening's scripture reading will be taken from Joshua 2:9-13. Joshua 2:9-13. And said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Shion and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did they remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, spare my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. You may be seated.
I didn't mention earlier that John Birdwell, our new youth minister, has our youth group out at Shine. That's at Heritage Christian University tonight. And grateful that the youth group went. Grateful that he led them there tonight. And Hope is here with baby Joseph over to my left, your right. And man, I just love John and Hope and am grateful that they have come our way and we get to have them within our church family. So if you haven't had an opportunity to go meet them and really spend time talking with them, catch them this week. Talk to Hope tonight. Baby Joseph is there. They're a wonderful family, and I'm grateful they're mentoring and supporting the ministry to our youth. I want to remind us, though, that's not just a he and her job. That's an us job. That's a family job. That's an eldership job. That's an all of us job, ministering to young people. And so let's make sure we're all in their corner, because I know they have the best interest and the best heart for our young people. So very excited about that. Shift focus. I knew a lot of people in high school. The high school I went to had just less than about 2,000 students from 9th to 12th grade. And from preschool to elementary school, to middle school, to high school, I was in four different buildings in four different locations throughout the town of Richmond, Kentucky. It was never one place, never one group of people. Each one was a feeder school to another group, and it got bigger and bigger with everyone. I knew a lot of people. I loved it. I knew a lot of people both in the good and a lot of people in the bad. And I knew there were some people that I should be around and some I should not be around. Not because I was some shining example of Christ-likeness, because I wasn't, but thankfully my parents had instilled within me some semblance of an idea that what Scripture says, bad company corrupts good morals. And so I put forth some effort, not the most effort. I was in some ways what I needed to be, but in most ways I wasn't. Nonetheless, I knew this to be the case. And even as I'm sitting here, standing here, talking to you tonight, I see their faces. And I can just go through a list of their names and the reasons why I thought it wasn't good for me to be in their presence often. Now, with my father still preaching there, we have conversations like this. Hey, Austin, do you remember so-and-so? Well, of course, Dad. Guess what? I said, what's that? He goes, I'm studying the Bible with them right now. Or they married a Christian and they're worshiping with us now. I'm gonna study the Bible with them eventually. Better yet, just baptize them. I love those stories. And praise God that people are turning to him for the salvation of their souls, regardless of who they used to be, church. That's a big phrase tonight. Do you know the name Roy Ratcliffe?
I didn't see anybody shaking their head. Maybe you haven't heard his name. He grew up in Wichita, Kansas, went to school out west, Oklahoma Christian University, and then started preaching up in the Madison, Wisconsin area for the Mandrake Road Church of Christ. Anybody ringing a bell? All right, what about this name? Jeffrey Dahmer? All right. So Roy Ratcliffe in March of 1994 had a call from a prison in which there was a prisoner for life who wanted to study the Bible and be baptized. Roy Ratcliffe, as a younger preacher in the day, didn't think much of it, went straight to the prison, got dressed, went straight to the prison cell, walked in, and lo and behold, who is he standing in front of? So Jeff, as this preacher called him, had determined that he'd wasted his life here and asked the question to Roy Ratcliffe, and this is cited in a book called Great Darkness, Great Grace. That Jeff said, is heaven a place for me? Several weeks of studying the Bible, Jeff was baptized by Roy Ratcliffe there in the prison. Wow. Austin, maybe even some of us here tonight, because we know that second name, are wondering, even him? Roy Ratcliffe has said since then people have made mention to him, I don't know if I want to be in heaven if he's going to be there. Who I used to be. That can change. I can't imagine the life of a prostitute, truly. To imagine that some souls have become so broken and hopeless that their life has boiled down to selling their bodies for payment, the next drug high, or whatever thing. I mean this in a very serious way. I feel awful for those souls. I don't know their circumstances, and I don't know the families they were born into. I don't know the choices they made that led to where they are. I just simply feel sad for them. I'm not shedding personal responsibility or even suggesting that one's upbringing will dictate the rest of your life and so you're pigeonholed to that lifestyle. I am simply pointing out tonight that life and sin can be nasty. And the only true joy and contentment we ever have in life is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, church? Here's a question with Rahab that I ask myself. Why did she trust those men so quickly? Have you ever wondered that? A woman who makes a living from men knocking at the door. Why trust so quickly? Maybe it was because these two spies that were sent to spy out the land of Jericho, especially the land of Jericho, that came to her door, when they knocked, they treated her with respect and dignity, unlike probably most every other man who walked through that door. Was she drawn in by their honesty, their integrity, and their character? And do you think people are still drawn into that today? Could it be that this indicates that some people suffering from abuse, mistreatment, or wastefulness of life and sin overwhelming and overcoming them, that they're craving and seeking honesty, integrity, character, simple human respect and love? Quite possibly, maybe even yes. If you don't know the story of Rahab, let me give it to you in brief. Thinking about the hopelessness and thinking about knock after knock, knowing what life had turned out to be, what she made it. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from this place and as spies. Go view the land, verse 1, especially Jericho. And so the Bible says they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. If Jericho had walls surrounding the city, two walls with perpendicular walls adjoining the front and the back wall, maybe even where apartments were built up and established, this is the type of setting where Rahab lodged. And it was told to the king, verse 2. The king found out they walked in. How? Well, on full alert, because this little Hebrew people that wasn't so little anymore, they were coming and the army was on their way. And they've heard about this God and what he's done to other people. And they know what might be there. So maybe spies are on full alert. Maybe even they, you know, walking around the city, everybody's wondering what's going to happen. Spies are out, but men are watching. Back to Rahab, though. Watching her door. So it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And so the king immediately of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all of the land. But what did she do? Verse 4. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But here's the thing. Verse 6. She had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. And so those soldiers, the men, pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. And then the reading that Bill gave for us tonight. Why'd she do it? Could she have wanted more for her life? Do you think people suffering in sin and sorrow, knock after knock, high after high, sin after sin, which every time leaves people wanting. Not wanting more, but wanting as in, I know I actually have less. Isn't that the nature of sin? It's tempting, and it draws you in, and you crave it, you want it, you desire it, but when you give into it, what do you feel? Terrible. Awful. Empty. Could Rahab have wanted more? You see, she hid the spies, misdirected the soldiers, put her life at risk as they would probably be back to ask her more questions because they knew the spies had come and they knew where she lived and they knew they went into her home. And this sudden action of faith for this woman of faith soon to be, we will see, this sudden action of faith is unexpected and really entirely contradictory to what we would have expected from someone if we simply know her as a prostitute. So could these actions indicate that she wanted more for her life? If I'm given the freedom to speculate from the pulpit, I would say the answer to that is yes. And my question for us is, are there people in this world who may be born into circumstances that's beyond their control that they're dreaming about leaving? Could there be people in this world that want more? You think about right now, Afghan women, children, men for that matter, who are risking their life to run away and get out of the grasp of terrorism, control, slavery. I think the answer to that question is yes. But don't you see a beautiful place where the gospel can come in right there and set people free? Now, this may not be true for everybody in Rahab's shoes, but we won't know until we try. Here's what I love about Rahab. A few thoughts. God used Rahab not because she was sinless, but in spite of her sin. And that's you and me. God doesn't use us because we are sinless and perfect and wonderful, but he uses us in spite of our weakness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 10 says this, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Raise your hand if you're without sin. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. First John chapter 1 verse 9. "But if we confess our sins," you see, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think Rahab shows us what a life in transition looks like. Our church is filled with people in transition. And I know that phrase has been hijacked, and I want to use it for what it is. In transition from sin-filled to saved from sin. Of the world, not of the world. There are people in our midst today that are recovering sinners, and quite frankly, Austin Johnson is one of them. You in the pew may be one of them. You listening online may be one of them. You see, we have habits and we have comfort zones with sin that we fight daily. But the words of Rahab resound in my mind when she said in verse 9, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt before you." People melt before Yahweh God. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction." And as soon as we heard it, listen to this, our hearts melted. God put us in a position where we can present you before people and watch hearts melt. But he does. These words are words of faith. Rahab did not stop with just words. They turned into action. She treated the spies kindly. She helped them escape the city. She gave them specific instructions on how to escape. How to get out of there after they leave the city. Wait 3 days and then you can go on your way. And she trusted those men, their words. And she even acted faithfully by putting that scarlet rope out of the window. So as we work with people who are recovering alcoholics, people who are recovering from pornography addiction, people who are recovering from sexual addiction, people who are recovering from covetous and greediness addiction, people who are recovering from being deceitful liars at work, all for greedy gain. As we work with people in recovery, because church, quite frankly, aren't we all people in recovery? It just may have been so long for some of us, we've forgotten about it. I think we should expect relapses, but not give up hope. And all the while, keep the bigger picture in mind and give grace. A big question with Rahab is this: did God condone the lie? Well, nowhere in Scripture is it ever stated that God condoned or approved of the lie that she gave to the soldiers to misdirect them away from the spies. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it says she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. That's why she's in Hebrews 11, because of her friendly welcome to those men. And it goes back to what I said earlier. God used her not because she's sinless. He used her in spite of her sin. I'm somebody who tends to believe this. If Rahab would have told the truth, quite frankly, the honest truth, that God is still big enough to have worked out his plan through those spies anyway. And honestly, if we focus entirely about, did God condone the lie? She lied, yet she's in the hall of fame of faith. Really, that's not even what the story is all about. The story is not about the end justifies the means so we can lie if we have a greater purpose in mind. No. Maybe it's the case that Rahab was just simply transitioning to faith and obviously was still showing moments of human weakness and sin. She had good intentions. I think she really wanted to do the right thing. I kind of think we're similar to her in that regard, maybe even would have done something of the like. If I can speak just very specifically about that situation, you know, I put myself in my shoe, in that her shoes. What if someone comes into my house? Where's your family? Is your family here? We might even say, well, you can tell a lie in that situation to protect your family. It's just a lie. The lives of your kids, your wife. Well, there are many ways to go about that. To speak truth, but not tell everything you know. To redirect, to get people away from the question that they ask. It seems like a silly illustration that doesn't matter a whole lot. But here's what the scriptures say. Be faithful unto what? Wow. So you tell me that God's called me to put my life on the line in telling the truth? Yes. Because then I'll give you a crown of life. Yeah. I think Rahab is a wonderful testimony of the greatness of Jehovah over the false gods of this world. And that she should inspire us as God's people to act courageously even in the face of adversity. To act courageously even despite our weakness. And let's not forget Matthew chapter 1 verse 5. And Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, all the way working down to who? Jesus the Christ. You see, broken people who live broken lives can be mended by Jesus. People, that's where he came from. And so I want to conclude with this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The thesis statement of Hebrews 11, in which Rahab finds herself in verse 31. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Rahab, this woman of faith, sought the Lord the best she knew how. She came from a pagan world and was introduced to Yahweh God. What a blessing that you have known about him for your entire life. Most of us, at least, have heard about him, worshipped him, been around Christians who follow and disciple after his son Jesus our whole life. Well, without faith, are you a person of faith? It's impossible to please him. So what must we do? Diligently seek him. My question to you tonight, as we look at this woman of great faith, do you diligently seek the Lord your God with all the opportunities you have today? And I want Rahab to stand as a shining example of the greatness of Jehovah over false gods and to get us to act courageously wherever we are in our walk of faith. From newborn Christian to decades old Christian, seek God in sincerity and faithfulness, and he'll give you that crown of life. Thanks for listening to those thoughts from the Word of the Lord tonight. Let me speak to your heart. We worship and praise God. It's an awesome opportunity here in person and watching online. And I want to speak to you, because I've mentioned a couple names that almost sound dirty, even rolling off the tongue tonight. But what does that tell you? God is no respecter of persons or pasts. He cares about you, and he cares about this moment. So wherever you've been doesn't matter nearly as much as where you are and where you're going. We as the church at Florence Boulevard want to help you if you find this online. We as a church at Florence Boulevard want to help you if you're here in person tonight. Make sure you're aware that God loves you here and now where you are and wants to help you become who you need to be. So if we need to pray for you, encourage you, love on you, if you need to be immersed into Jesus through the blood that is the water of baptism, you can do that tonight. Let's be a church to support one another in this walk of faith. And if you need to respond to that message, you can do so now. Let's stand up and sing out to our Lord.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. If you have not had the opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper today, it has been left prepared in the classroom in the back. If you'll make your way there now, you'll be served. Do remember our service is Wednesday night at 6:30. Going to sing a verse of a closing song, and then we'll have a closing prayer. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone.
Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time thanking you for such a great day, a day that we can come here and worship you, sing songs of praises to you. Dear Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that we've had to be here, and thank you for each person that chose to be here. Dear Lord, thank you for the two good lessons we heard from Austin this morning and tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for each teacher that stood before a class and used their talents and their abilities to preach your word and to teach your word. Dear Lord, thank you for every person that had a part in this worship service this morning and tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for our visitors. Thank you for all those that came that probably didn't feel like coming, but they chose to be here anyway. Dear Lord, thank you for all those that were with us online. Thank you for being able to reach out to them. Dear Lord, as we begin this new week, help us to be better Christians in the world we were last week. Help us to be closer to you. Dear Lord, thank you for everything you bless us with in our lifetime. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us, and thank you for your Son. Dear Lord, and we ask this prayer in his holy name. Amen.